Good evening, and welcome to Outsources, a weekly KGNU program that provides you with content related to the queer community. I'm your host, Sean Kenny, and today I'm in the studio with Will Patterson, a student at Colorado State University in Fort Collins and a drag performer. As a relatively new voice in the drag scene in Colorado, Will provides an insightful perspective on how drag is becoming increasingly relevant in the queer community and where drag as a form of art, expression, and performance is headed in the future. Well, Will, thanks so much for joining the show today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
An important part of drag performance is the drag persona that performances create. Can you walk listeners through your drag persona?
Sure. Well, it's still developing. My name in drag is Willow Pill, which is relatively close to my name already. But I always tell people that Willow was not a new thing. I actually used to perform when I was really young, like 4 or 5 years old. And that's when she was born, not like in the last couple of months when I actually started practicing, you know, drag in the community. So Willow is, I used to perform Selena, like Selena Quintanilla Perez, because I watched the movie with Jennifer Lopez when I was a little kid.
Classic.
And I would always go in the fire mantle and I would wear my sister's like sequin headband as a bra and just underwear and then like pull a shirt over my head and pull it back for hair.
So you really went all out in getting in character.
Yeah, no. I did drag, I guess, when I was 4 or 5 and then stopped for a long time and then kind of rebirthed. But no, I don't know. She's just in development, but I tell people she's a mix of 41 and 14. Because I'm kind of obsessed with, like, little stoner girls as well as, like, older women, like moms that just can't catch a break.
So in terms of when you're kind of getting into that persona, you're channeling this young at heart but maybe aging.
Exactly. No, that's right. It's like a mom who thinks she's still 14 or wants to be 14.
So how did you come to drag then as a performance? I know that you do dance, and that's a form of art that you're familiar with. But how did you come into drag recently?
I always wanted to do drag because of RuPaul's Drag Race. I loved the show. I kind of watched it when it was in the early seasons, and then once it got to season 4 or 5, with characters like Sharon Needles and Jinx Monsoon that were kind of outside of the pageant style of drag, that's what I really connected with. And I was like, wow, I can, not only do I love this show, but I could do it. Like, this is kind of what I want to do. And still kept it down for a long time. I was not out of the closet at that point. So, it wasn't something I could really openly practice. And then I think the final thing was I saw my friend, do the CSU show a year ago, last fall. And he's a dancer too. And I'd taken some of his classes, and I've danced my whole life and always wanted to do it, and he did it, and he was amazing, and it was so well-received that I was like, okay, I have to do it. So I did it, and everyone loved it, and Crystal, who's a big drag queen in Fort Collins in Denver, said that she really liked what I did and wanted me to continue, so that really motivated me to just bring it all to life, and then now I'm performing in Denver and stuff, and it's amazing.
Can you walk listeners through what that first performance felt like?
Yeah, it was amazing. So they put out the applications, and I applied immediately. It was like 6 weeks away, and I applied immediately and immediately started making song mixes and getting a costume together and kind of trying to bring it all to life. I got backup dancers that were my friends who I knew just through dance. So I was like really nervous and really angsty about it. So I just started like getting nervous about it and preparing for it way early and choreographing. And then when it came time for the show, I felt really ready and prepared. And it was pretty awesome. We went out there right after a RuPaul queen, actually. It was Mrs. Kasha Davis, because they had some guests to help bring in money, because it's a charity event at the CSU show. And I remember just going out there and we just killed it. And it felt like the highest high I'd ever felt in my life probably just to have, because it's a big turnout. It's over 1,000 people come to the CSU show. And so to have 1,000 people's, you know, praise and screaming and you just feeling good about what you had kind of conjured in your mind for weeks and weeks, it was the best. It was the best feeling probably I've ever had.
You've alluded to this sense of community, and I think community really is a big part of drag,
yeah,
as a form of expression. What has been your impression of the community that is built around drag, and how has it been kind of becoming a part of that as you're forming your drag persona and Willow? And
it's really interesting. It's very multifaceted, more so than I thought. It was hard to get into at first. I remember after my performance, I got all this praise from other queens that were big in Denver. And I was like, oh, well, that's it. Now I'm in. And I was like, you know, now I can start performing at tracks and, you know, I'll be the next drag queen at Drag Nation. And it wasn't that way at all. There was just nothing afterwards. They're like, everyone loved it. And then it was just over. And so I reached out to a couple of queens and I was like, hey, how do I do this? I don't know what I'm doing. And they messaged back and they were super helpful. And they were just like, you need to start talking to hosts. Hosts is who you need to talk to. And, you know, sending them videos and pictures and working on your face and your outfits and just kind of getting your name out there. So I started doing that. I started messaging hosts and I got, you know, some rejection, people not knowing who I am. And I only had like 2 pictures of me in drag and my first makeup was horrible. So, I just had to push myself in there more than I thought I did. And a lot of it is about networking. And now that I'm more in it, I'm still have a long way to go networking wise and kind of being in the community and having my name known. It's really cool. It's really interesting.
I don't think a lot of people realize just how much work goes into assuming the drag persona and getting prepped for a performance. How are you kind of learning that art? I mean, you talked about your face and all of that. How are you learning that? What's going into that for you?
Oh, it's a huge, huge learning process. I mean, a face is just one part of it. I mean, my makeup skills have gone from awful to average, I would say, but it's a big process. A lot of it I've done on my own too. Being in Fort Collins, it's kind of difficult to be in Denver or have a drag mom or have that mentorship. So it's a lot of YouTube tutorials and a lot of going to the store and getting products and trial and error. And it takes a long time too. It takes me 2 hours to do my makeup and then another 30 minutes to get into my outfit with my wigs and padding and everything else. It's a lot of work, and you know, you still learn every day. Last night, some people would think this is mean, but it's really nice, is when queens will say like, oh, you look great, but you need to change your lips. I got that last night. They're like, your lips aren't dark enough. They look washed out in the stage lights, and you need to do this to your eyebrows, and you need to do this to your wig, get this comb. And you need to add this amount of jewelry. And so they're all super helpful, and it's a really long learning process, and there's so much work that goes into it. It's way more than I thought it was, but I love it.
You talked about a 2.5-hour process, essentially, in prepping, to say nothing of preparing the music and the routine. Is that all a part of the ritual? Is that 2.5 hours of the makeup and the padding and what you're wearing? Is that almost a necessary process for you to kind of get in that persona? Or how do you find that getting ready?
If I could, I would do it in a minute.
Sure.
Rather than 2 hours. But yeah, it's like, for me, it's when the lashes and the lips and the eyebrows come on. That's when like Willow is ready to go, because those are kind of the details that really finish it all off. So as soon as that happens and then I put my wig on, I feel like a different person, honestly. I mean, not a different person, but a part of myself that rarely gets out comes to life just as soon as you look in the mirror and you're just like feeling yourself. And it's pretty awesome, actually. It's a very difficult to explain feeling. It's almost like a part of you that's been tucked away for a long, long time because of, you know, social norms that comes out. And it's, it just kind of clicks all of a sudden for me. Stroll down the runway,
another payday, cover of magazine. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Outsources on KGNU Boulder, Denver. I'm your host, Sean Kenny, and I'm in the studio with Will Patterson, who performs in drag as Willow in Fort Collins in Denver. We're talking about how Will came to drag performance as a form of expression and the role that drag can play in the queer community. Head to toe, let your whole body talk. Two grommets Chinese, red carpet TV, valet my limousine, box office sweetie, an Oscar nominee, now watch me snatch trophies. I find it so interesting that you talk about drag as a means of exploring and bringing forth a part of your identity that doesn't always get to be visible, rather than, I think it might be easy to characterize drag as something that's superficial or assuming a personality or persona that is fake or totally separate from the performer who's doing it. But you see that differently and really as a way to bring forth that part of yourself.
Yeah, I definitely do. I think it does get a rap that you kind of are putting on this different persona and that you're, I don't know, being fake. But for me, it's never been that way. I mean, for some queens, it could be that way. Maybe female impersonators or celebrity impersonators, it's more of an act. But even then, it could be something that they're inspired by and is genuine in a way. But yeah, no, it's not, for me, it's not fake at all. I don't feel like I need to pitch my voice in a certain way or, I don't know, become more likable. I just feel like a different part of me, a more confident version of myself comes out that is less afraid. And I think, for me, it's certainly not fake or superficial. It's a very authentic part of myself that comes out.
Have you been able to show that self to friends or family?
Yeah, I have. It's harder with family. A lot of drag can be a little bit explicit. And so it's like still difficult to show it to my mom. So she still hasn't met Willow officially. But my sister has, my brother has. And my friends, I love having them come out and watch me and hanging out. I had some friends come out last night because they just get to see a different part of me. And when I was in high school, I remember I was very removed during my teen years. I was very depressed and not really with it. And a lot of them noticed that as well. And so after coming out, which was around my senior year, they kind of saw me change a lot and really liked, and we became closer too because there weren't any barriers or lies between us. And then when Willow came out, it was like even another layer was shed, just kind of showing more of my passions and what I want to do. And all of them say they're just really proud because they get to see a part of me that is so out there and so weird and confident and fun. And so I love it. I love getting to show people that part of myself. It's a kind of a special sharing process.
It's so beautiful the way you talk about that. I mean, in so many ways, drag is putting on layers of like makeup or new clothes, but yeah, you also talk about it as a way of peeling back maybe parts of your personality to reveal some of those deeper aspects of yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to explain, but I mean, even last night, I just noticed my rapport with people is much better when I'm in drag. I feel like I'm funnier and wittier, and that I can just hang with whoever and feel good about it and not nervous. And I feel that inner child come out, like when I was that 4-year-old, you know, dancing and lip syncing to Selena. It feels like a close connection with myself. And what I love about drag too is that I feel like I'm continuing to kind of know myself and kind of build a relationship with myself almost, and reveal layers of myself that I didn't even know I had. So it's almost like a relationship builder for me. And I don't know, it's really fun to kind of discover those new things about yourself.
I wonder if you could talk to just a little bit about how you see yourself fitting within drag, if that makes sense. I mean, drag is a community, an art form. And I'd imagine that every performer is kind of finding their spot within that space. We've heard discussions about different forms of drag or what kind of queen you might be. Do you find yourself finding that niche? Are you drawn to certain forms of aesthetics or music?
Yeah, well, it's hard because at first, when I started, I felt like I had to fit a certain way that all the other Denver queens are. Denver's scene it's not as liberal as it is in other places where they have a lot more kind of different styles of drag. But it is changing a lot and it's developing a lot right now. Like, for instance, a lot of queens don't like when you do male songs. And I love doing male songs. I do a lot of Kanye, and sometimes I do Michael Jackson or Chris Brown. And I love doing those songs because they're good for dance. And Crystal does that as well, and she kills it, of course. So, and then some queens will comment on that and be like, "Why did you do that?" Or like, "I don't like when queens do male songs. You should be a lady," or they say you shouldn't wear certain things. And I'm definitely drawn to very funky clothing, and I love styles from the 70s and 90s, and I also love like rodeo style clothes and disco clothes, and I love really ugly drag too. Not every queen appreciates ugly drag. Like on RuPaul's Drag Race, they had an episode where they did ugly drag, and I was so jealous because that's what I really wanted to do. I love just dressing up like a soccer mom or like, and I just love that style, and I love really odd looking drag. But yeah, I don't really know where I fit right now, but I'm kind of finding my footing a little bit, I guess.
You're kind of mentioning that there are some more traditional queens that, yes, that have comments or feelings about drag heading in different directions. And I think we could also point to potential problems inherent in drag of a certain idea of what it means to be feminine,
yes,
or of making more strict gender roles, even questions about race or who performs drag and who is it for and what are the cultural sources of drag. Do you encounter those tensions? How do you navigate that?
Yeah, I do. One of the things you hear so often backstage and around the clubs is when queens will tell another queen, like, "Oh, you need to be a lady." Like, if they're not padding, or if they don't have enough jewelry, or if they're acting more masculine, that's something you hear a lot, is you need to be a lady, or you need to, you know, be a certain way. So, yeah, there is some controversy around how drag kind of reinforces gender stereotypes, especially of women, which is, I don't know, it's interesting because I would never be angry at a queen who wants to be that real feminine female feel and that, you know, that total complete female illusion. But I dislike when queens will knock other ones for not being that way. And so, yeah, it is interesting. There's a lot of social commentary that it has about gender roles, and race is a big thing as well. I mean, last night I was performing with a queen who was black, and she was talking about how sometimes she feels like it's rigged against her, and that they kind of don't accept the black queens as much.
I just wonder, in many ways, you've referenced this show, RuPaul's Drag Race,
yes,
which is, for listeners who aren't aware, a contestant reality show,
yes,
where drag queens are competing to be crowned a drag superstar each season. And what are we in the...
They're going to have season 9 come out in the spring.
And in many ways, folks point to this show as partly being responsible to a sort of renaissance of drag in the U.S. and internationally, even. Do you think that's a fair assessment? And how, I'm curious how you see drag evolving or changing in the future, because it seems like with this renaissance of drag, you're bringing new voices into that scene and community of which you are a part.
Yes. No, in my opinion, it really is. Like I said, the first couple seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race I watched, but I didn't really see myself like, oh, that's what I want to do. I was looking at it and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then when they started introducing queens like Sharon Needles, who is more of a gothic queen, who's very, very outside of the box for drag at the time. And then seeing other queens like Jinx Monsoon, who won the season after Sharon and was all about Broadway and humor and camp, and then continuing to see different queens come on the show, ones that are interested in fashion and ones that are, you know, interested in more masculine things, and bearded queens and all sorts of interesting different styles of drag. There's also, sometimes they're called bio queens or faux queens, that are, you know, cisgender women who will do drag as a form of expression of gender, and that's becoming more accepted and more popular. Drag kings are even getting more recognition, and they need more going forward. And people who are cisgender or straight are still, they're starting to appreciate drag more and see it. It's more popularized now and more mainstream. I don't know if it'll ever go full mainstream, but it's becoming more mainstream, certainly. And they're starting to appreciate it and see it as a really cool art form, especially the young people. The RuPaul's Drag Race now has a very young following, which I think is awesome, because I think rarely do I meet people that don't love drag, that don't, or at least aren't interested by it or entertained by it. So it's really cool that it's coming to a more popular place when, you know, 20 years ago it was something you wouldn't even talk about and was just in the undergrounds of big cities.
You mentioned earlier how you find yourself really enjoying the things that Willow brings out in you. And does that head in the other direction? Do you find that the more you do drag, the more that Willow impacts who Will is?
Yeah, well, Willow, I mean, of course, Will affects Willow and Willow affects Will. I feel more confident in myself outside of drag, too. I mean, I feel really confident when I'm in drag and I feel like a more confident person. But that also rubs off on myself. A couple of years ago, I mean, I was a nervous wreck all the time doing any sort of public speaking or performance, and now that's changed a lot. I do radio at CSU, which helped a lot, just that public forum, and then doing drag was a huge thing, and I thankfully I get less and less nervous with each of my shows as they come. But I think that I've become a more well-spoken person, and I've become a more confident person in my own life, and yeah, just less afraid to be myself the more that Willow comes out. There's also things that are difficult, like I'm constantly thinking about drag, and sometimes I wish I could pick up other hobbies and that I didn't take up so much time and thought from me, because I'm always looking at videos and thinking about it and mixing songs. And I don't even perform as much as most queens do. You know, I perform every couple weeks. Most queens perform three or four times a week. So sometimes you feel like it's too much of a takeover of your life, and you just need some time for your regular self to take a break. And you kind of become a little obsessed with it, and it takes you out of the other worlds that you're in, because they feel very separate sometimes. So yeah, the two kind of rub off on each other a lot, and it can be good sometimes, and other times it's very distracting and very difficult to separate yourself and realize kind of which reality you're in.
Are you hopeful about the future of drag?
Yeah, I'm really hopeful about it. I'm very excited about where it's going. It's evolving like crazy. I'm taking a break actually for the next couple months. I'm going to Prague to study abroad. And I'm interested in how that time's going to be, because I recently kind of picked up this part-time job as a drag queen, and it's getting busier and busier. I'm booking more and more shows, and then all of a sudden I'm going to stop. and not have, I'm not going to bring any of my clothes or my makeup because I'm, you know, it's, I have to pack light, and I'm not going to be doing it for a long time. And I'm also missing Ultimate Queen, which is a competition in Denver that seeks out kind of the next great drag queen in Denver, which I was kind of bummed about. But I hope that when I get back, I can kind of go full force into it and start performing enough so that I can kind of sustain myself a little bit as a job and evolve more, because I know that I can get way better than I am right now.
You've been listening to Outsources on KGNU Boulder, Denver. I'm Sean Kenny, and I've been speaking with Will Patterson, who performs under the drag persona Willow in Colorado. We've been talking about the vital role that drag can play as a form of self-expression and in building community for queer individuals. You can see Willow perform at clubs like Trax, Charlie's in Denver, or in drag performances at Colorado State University, where Will is a student. Will, thanks so much again for joining us on Outsources tonight.
No, thank you so much for having me.
To listen to the recording of this and other Outsources shows, go online to our website at news.kgnu.org and click on Outsources under the Shows and Features tab. As always, let us know if you have comments or feedback about tonight's show by emailing outsources@kgnu.org. You're listening to Outsources on KGNU, and we'd like to wrap up this week's episode with a review of events and news happening in the LGBTQ community in Boulder, Denver, and beyond. Out Boulder and A Queer Endeavor are hosting a community conversation as a follow-up from the recent presidential election results called Moving Toward Collective Liberation. The event will be held in Longmont on November 29th at 5:30 p.m. For more information, visit outboulder.org. And join us next week, Monday, at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of Outsources. We'll be recognizing World AIDS Day by featuring a grassroots program in South Africa that works to empower women who are affected by HIV/AIDS. Hosts Janice Bohan and Glenda Russell talk with Sister Sheila Flynn, a Dominican nun, about the community program she founded to address HIV/AIDS in rural South Africa. Sister Sheila and a participant in the program, Tozi Mokoba, discuss the status of HIV/AIDS and AIDS work in rural South Africa, as well as their program's role in dealing with AIDS in local communities. As an aside, Sister Sheila also talks about her perspective on AIDS work in relation to the Catholic Church. That's Monday, 6:30 p.m., right here on KGNU. Or listen anytime after the broadcast at kgnu.org/outsources. I'm Sean Kenny, and you've been listening to Outsources, KGNU, Boulder, Denver.